Hey, greetings everybody, it's Brother James, JoePierce.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Our day's about ready to finish up. I wanted to bring you an audio teaching today. Some brothers and I got on the phone, we ended up talking about this. I think it's really a good one. Idle words. You're going to be judged for your idle words. Matthew 12:36 explained. Yeah, I want to talk about Matthew 12, famous idle word judging scripture verse. Let me read it to you. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. All right, so like I said, some brothers and I were on the phone, had a long conversation about this. And this is a very, very common issue of all Bible study habits where people take it out of context and it ends up being to their theological demise and fault and false ways. The issue at hand with this verse, the way people quote it, is bad context and something called proof texting. So that just simply means that you're going to go take verses out of the place God put them, read them on their own, not have the complete framework of scripture verses and books around them, and you lack understanding because of that. You don't understand who it was said to, when, how, where, why. That's very important for context. So proof texting and out of context, one of the most dangerous things. We always want to study God's word in context, never proof text and pull them out. We don't want scripture verses to stand alone that God put in place to stand with other verses, right? Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul talked about all scriptures given for instruction, rebuking, reproving. So we got to use all scripture that's applicable to what we're doing today, right? If we just read this verse by itself and then we decide, well, I'm going to be judged for that, and then we decide, well, I think these are idle words, or those are idle words, these are idle words, these are fleshly words, what happens is we end up creating a complicated, unbiblical, theological system, and it's born out of the bad context and the proof texting. We don't want to be doing that. So before we get into exactly rightly dividing this scripture verse, let's talk about the four main pitfalls that happen in this case with this scripture verse that I see often. The four main ones. Many will say Jesus is telling everyone they're going to be judged for every word that's not really needed. That's one thing they say. Another thing they say is they begin to decide what is idle words. Things like, oh my, wow, I can't believe that. They say those are idle words, and they put those upon themselves. They often place the weight of word confusion not only on themselves but on others, causing even more confusion in words people can use, how they should talk. They miss the whole main point of what Jesus was teaching. And the last point, they missed the whole point, as I just said, of Jesus' main teaching. You're going to see what Jesus' point was in Matthew 12 as we get to it. So let's read that verse again. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. All right, so what is the problem? Or it always happens, often happens. Men read this verse, again, using bad context, proof texting, and they believe that all saints are going to be judged by Jesus if we use certain words that some people, I'm in a parking lot, if they use some words that some people deem are idle or not needed. Like I said, some examples are, oh my, hey there, oh my goodness, things like that. So they believe this not based on good theology, but on their own proof texting. And they're basing it on the word idle. Let's look at that. Argos in the Greek. The Greek word is argos. And it means inactive, barren, unemployed, lazy, useless. Okay. So with that understanding, people will begin to say, well, these words are idle, they're fleshly, and we're going to be judged for all of them per Jesus when they just read Matthew 12. But I have to say I totally disagree with that, and I'm here to explain why using good exegesis, not eisegesis, good context study, as we all should be doing that. I believe a simple reading of Matthew 12 in context is going to help us see what this is all about, right? Let's read verses 24 through 35. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." This fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. All right, so let's stop right there. The Pharisees lying about Jesus, saying he's using Satan's power to cast out demons, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, lying. This is the context. 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." Yeah, that's what Jesus was preaching. The kingdom of God has come. "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Verse 30. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost, "shall not be forgiven unto men." Verse 32. "And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And then, of course, Jesus says in Matthew 12, 36, you're going to be judged for idle words. Do you see the whole context here, saints and seekers? The entire context is the Pharisees blaspheming God, lying about God, opposing Jesus. He's their enemy. And he rebukes them for their words. He wasn't warning born-again, dear, obedient saints following him about using words like "oh my" or "wow." Nope. Notice in verses 34 and 35, Jesus is teaching us out of good hearts come good things, and out of corrupt heart comes evil. They brought evil, idle, lying words that they're going to be judged for. That's the whole point of this. Look at the context. Who is Jesus rebuking? Who is that warning to? It's to the wicked Antichrist Pharisees. They were Antichrist because they were denying who he was. So it's good also when you're studying this to look at other places and see where else did Jesus talk about idle words. Surely he must have warned the disciples and warned us to come. No. Actually, if you look, you will never find Jesus ever mentioning idle words again. Nowhere else in Scripture. I think if this was so important that every single one little tiny word, "oh my goodness," "oh my," "oh wow," Jesus would have warned the saints of God directly. He doesn't. He rebukes the Pharisees. That is the whole point. Now, it is mentioned in this next verse here, not by Jesus, Luke 24:11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believe them not." All right, so they come back and give the report that Jesus is resurrected. Men don't want to believe it. Idle tales. That word in the Greek is leros. It's a lot like argos. And it means it's about lies. So we can kind of allude, because the Pharisees were lying, and we have similar words, that idle words can also be hurtful, lying words. Yeah, that's what we can get from that. The Pharisees lied about Jesus. They used hurtful, vain, useless, unemployed words. And these men here in this context of Luke 24, they didn't believe Jesus' resurrection. So they thought, they're given lying fables. This all makes sense. Revelation 22 says no liars will make heaven. One lie keeps you out of the kingdom, verses 14 and 15. So think about that. Idle can also mean hurtful, lying words. Leros, along with argos. Paul mentions idle in this verse, 1 Timothy 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, same word, argos, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, argos, but tattlers and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Okay, again, the context is not judgment for using a few words that may be idle, may not be idle. No, the warning is to not be idle yourself, lazy. God doesn't like slothful laziness, does he? Or gossip or idleness. Ephesians 5 says we're to redeem the time. That's the sin here. Not so much a misplaced word here or there. So now that we know the context, Jesus warning the wicked Antichrist lying Pharisees for their idle lying words, hateful words, useless, as they're slandering the Holy Ghost. These same men later plot to kill Jesus. They're not his holy saints who he warned. They're his enemies. Right? So let's look closer at what exactly maybe idle words could be, what they're not. Remember the definition. Argos in the Greek. Inactive, barren, unemployed, lazy, useless. And we discovered leros can mean lies, a lying tale. So what this means is, if we saints, I'm talking to born again saints here, born by the gospel, check out the gospel, don'tperish.com, born again. If we use true words of an exclamation like, wow, or hey there, how you doing? Or I can't believe that happened. And they have a purpose, they have a meaning, they have an intent, they have an exclamation. They're good, pure, and true. They're not about worldly things, carnal things, fleshly things. They're not idle. You know, the Bible uses words like woe, amen, verily, and other words that clearly are not needed, but they're added in by the Holy Spirit for intent, context, emotion, meaning. So these are not idle words. Do a comparison of the Pharisees' words versus, oh my goodness, oh my dear. Not even close, folks. Not even close to the context. And if we were to add such words to our daily communications, they're not idle. They're actually employed. Remember, idle is unemployed. They're employed. If your child drew you a picture and you said, oh my, that is a wonderful picture you drew. Thank you so very much. I'm so thankful for it. Those words are employed. They're meaningful. They'll be edification to your child or edification to a brother or a sister. They have a working purpose. Think about that. Idle means no working purpose. So if you say, oh my dear, and it's about a good, pure, and true thing, not some worldly carnal sports or politics or things like that, Philippians 4:8, whatever's good, pure, true, worthy, noble. This is a way to tell people that you're moved, something's important. It's not useless, unemployed, or idle at all. Now, let's be honest. If I was to use some words to a brother who made a mistake and I said, you're a stupid fool and a moron for the mistake you made. Those are hurtful, idle, probably lying words that have no working purpose for God's kingdom. And I need to repent of that because I'll be judged for those words. That was mean-spirited and wicked. That wasn't for exhortation, edification, and redemption. That was, sounds like somebody would do that in the flesh to hurt, to destroy. That's Satan. That's what Satan does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Also, if it's time for a biblical rebuke, I do that often in the streets with false teachers, false religious people. It's not idle. We're commanded to rebuke. 1 Timothy 5:20, rebuke those publicly in sin so others may see and fear. All right. Hopefully we use biblical words like heretic, false teacher, things like that. But that, those have purpose. Those have meaning. They're not idle at all. So get a different picture. We're right near an airport, too. Can you hear that? Airplanes flying over. Get a clearer picture of what idle really is in the context. And if we're to walk around saying words that have no real purpose, no real meaning, no real value, and they're not about His kingdom, or they're not about needed things in life or work activity, yeah, that could become idle. I get it. You know, if you're talking about foolish, vain, jangling things, yeah, those can be idle. They may not be mean and hurtful and lying, but they're pointless, purposeless. They're not employed for the kingdom of God. Watch out there. Right? Watch out. But you need to remember, the rebuke and the judgment and the warning for each idle word was to wicked, dark-hearted, lying, antichrist Pharisees that were God's enemy, not His saints, born of His blood. And ponder this. Think of the true saints you know. I'm talking true, godly saints you know. Those that are born of Him and are seeking the kingdom led by His Spirit, they don't live idle, wasted, meaningless lives full of a bunch of meaningless words, do they? Nope. They don't. They're set on the kingdom. Their hearts and minds are set on things above, right? And so you may ask, well, how can we be sure as saints that we don't fall into this pattern of idle words and even anywhere near any type of judgment like this? Well, first of all, be born again by the gospel and honor, love, obey, lift up Christ with all that you are. They didn't do that. They were antichrist, denying Christ, ready to kill Him. So be born by the gospel. Take every thought captive. Focus on things above. Control our tongue. Strive for holiness in all our ways. And look for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:9. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is goodness, truth, righteousness. Our words should model that. The Pharisees weren't modeling that, not even close. That's why they're going to be judged for that. And lastly, 1 John 1:7, I love this. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, His Son cleanses us from all sin. Do you see what you got to be doing? You got to be walking in the light, and then the blood of Christ will cleanse us. The Pharisees weren't walking in the light. They were in the darkness. John 3:19 through 21. The light has come, but men love darkness because the light reproves them. Christ is the light, and they love to dabble in the darkness and plan to kill Him to smudge out His light, they thought. Didn't work out so well for them, did it? No. No, it didn't. So if we do all those things, we don't have to worry about being judged for idle words because we won't be using idle words. We won't be lying, mean-spirited, idle antichrists. We'll be speaking words of wisdom, truth, love, yeah, sometimes rebuke, exhortation. So you saints will be fine if you keep those things and keep the kingdom of God before you and seek Him with all that you are. I want you to hear me on this point as we close up here. It is a very good thing, as this brother who brought this up, it's a very good thing to guard our words. Oh, I'm not saying we shouldn't. And to not walk around saying foolish things, saying things that are worldly, saying a lot of things that aren't needed, that they don't have expressive intent, exclamation, and really saying more than what's needed. That can get us in trouble too, can't it? There were many times where Jesus was silent, was He not? I'm working through Matthew, my verse by verse, and I see where He's silent when they came to judge Him. So we have to be careful. Go read the book of James. Talks about controlling the tongue like a horse is controlled with a bit. You must bridle your tongue or your whole religion is in vain. And the main point of this teaching, saints and seekers, if you're studying the Word of God, stay in context. Don't proof text. Always examine the scriptures around the scripture you're looking at. Don't just focus on the one or two scriptures. Look for the whole book. Look for the whole context. And then go into God's word and look under topic, idle words or speaking words or judgment or whatever. And look all around the word of God and find a theme. The word of God always interprets the word of God. When we try to interpret the word of God on our own, we end up in one of the 40,000 man-made denominations. Yeah. But when we let the word of God interpret itself and the Holy Spirit guide us, we walk in all truth. John 16, Jesus said, the Spirit will teach you all truth. Isn't that glorious? We can have that. We can know it. We can walk in it. And I want you to remember this. Jesus said this, and it is said to us saints, his people. Matthew 5:37. But let your communication be yea. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these come of evil. So that one's right for us. That's the one when it comes to words we should be focused on. Not Matthew 12 that was really aimed at the Antichrist, hateful, lying, murderous, wicked Pharisees. That's not you. That's not me if our hearts have been made new by the gospel. Jesus also said this, last thing, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what we need to do? Via the gospel and every day, seeking, walking in Christ, we need to purify our hearts. And then you know what? We're not going to speak sinful, idle, hurtful, hateful, unemployed words that would bring judgment on us. We're going to speak life and truth and hope and peace and joy and edification and exhortation and rebuking and correction. Yes, we're going to tell of the goodness of God. We're going to tell the severity of God. And we're going to live our life for Christ, looking for his coming, seeking the kingdom. And in that, none of it is idle. Remember that, saints and seekers, if you're considering repenting and following Christ. Remember that. I'm going to leave it right there. I hope that's edified you. I hope that puts into context Matthew 12:36, being judged for idle words. Who was said to? What were the words that was said? And what will we be judged by? You know, we're going to be judged by our deeds. Yeah, saying words is a deed. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? If you set your eyes on the kingdom of God and you're walking in sound doctrine and you're living for Christ, you're guiding your family, your life, and your brethren, and you're seeking to go out and proclaim the gospel, there's nothing idle in that. And then asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and fill you, give you words to say, oh, he won't give you idle, wasteful, useless, unemployed words. You serve a good father. He does not give a snake when a son asks for a loaf of bread. Ask the Father for good words. Ask the Father to guide you in your communication for his glory and for the edification of everyone around you, and he will do it. I love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. All the resources are there to help you as we're traveling, preaching Christ crucified. Go out, repent, and obey the gospel. Till next time, God be praised.